Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're actually addressing two questions, but very similar questions. Should believing parents allow their children to consider their homosexual aunt's husband slash wife to be their aunt or uncle? And should believing parents allow their children to consider a grandparent's girlfriend or boyfriend to be their grandma and grandpa?
Yeah, so what do you do in this situation? It's really difficult because it's family. Nobody wants to strain family relationships. So we're not only going to answer these questions with a yes or no, but we're going to talk about how to deal with the situation. And the two questions are quite similar. We're assuming that in the case of the grandparent, that this is a cohabiting relationship. So it's a relationship where you've got a sinful sexual relationship happening outside of marriage. And in that sense, it's very similar to a homosexual relationship. The answer to both questions, very simply, is no. And there are at least three reasons why I would say that you should not allow your children to consider these people to be aunt, uncle, slash, or grandma, grandpa.
Well, the first is to call the homosexual aunt's partner aunt or uncle, or to call a grandparent's significant other grandma or grandpa, is to say to those people, we view you as married.
Right. In a sense, you legitimize a sinful relationship. Why can't we view them as married? Because we believe that marriage is a picture of the gospel, and aberrant unions defile marriage. Okay, so marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Marriage belongs to God. A lot of people think of marriage as a man-made institution, that it's just something that we have come up with in order to order society for it's the best way to order society and to raise families. Not true. God created marriage. He created it for His purpose. We don't get to redefine it and use it however we want. God created marriage to depict the gospel. Jesus loved the church, gave Himself up for her. The church responds in loving submission to Him. Homosexual unions explicitly violate Scripture and are therefore inherently sinful. And so they cannot be accepted as valid pictures of the gospel. The same is true of a sinful heterosexual relationship where two people are living together or engaging in sex before they're married. That's a violation of God's righteousness. It can't serve as a picture of the gospel. So we cannot call either of these things marriage, nor can we treat those people that are in that kind of a relationship as if they're married.
Well, second, we certainly can't teach our kids that this kind of thing is okay.
Yeah, we can't teach our kids that this kind of thing is okay, and that's precisely what we would be doing if we allowed our kids to call these folks, like to call the aunt's partner aunt so-and-so, or to call grandpa's girlfriend grandma, or whatever. A person is your aunt if she is married to your uncle. A person is your uncle if he is married to your aunt. Two women can't be married because God says marriage is between a man and a woman. And two people aren't married just because they live together. They must actually be joined in holy matrimony. So we need to be careful to be truthful with our kids and not confuse them with this stuff. And that's exactly what we're going to do if we start calling people aunt and uncle or grandma and grandpa when there's not an actual marriage there.
Right. Well, third, we should say no to these questions. Otherwise, we're missing an opportunity to appeal to a soul's conscience with the gospel.
Right. So in a situation where you've got the aunt who is a homosexual, she's family. That grandparent is family. You have a relationship with them that should entitle you to speak openly to them about the truth. You should also care deeply about their souls. you should also care for the soul of that partner, whether it's a homosexual partner or whether it's a heterosexual partner in an ungodly relationship, to overlook this situation by, well, I'm just going to call you whatever you want, to overlook that situation is to kind of kick the can down the road and really miss a great opportunity to share the good news. So how might we go about actually dealing with the situation? Because it's easy to say, well, no, you just shouldn't do that, but we want to be a little bit more helpful than that. So how would we actually go about dealing with this situation?
Right, so we should first have a conversation.
Yeah, we should have a conversation. That's a common theme here on the podcast. Explain to your loved one that you won't be using that particular name with your children and that no one will be using that name with your children. So it's not just that you will not be calling the aunt's partner Aunt so-and-so, but you will not allow them to do that either. So we're not going to act as if you're married because you're not married. We're also not going to allow you to act like you're married in front of our children. That sounds harsh. I mean, I wouldn't phrase it exactly that way. I would be a little bit softer with it. But so I would explain that's what we're going to do. Then explain why. So you can take that first reason that I mentioned earlier and use that as a way to begin to talk about the gospel. Marriage is a picture of the gospel. That's why we can't do this. Marriage is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church, and that's how he intends it to be used. And then you just begin to share the gospel. Literally lay the scriptures in front of them. You might even have them read the scripture. I think there's a whole lot of power in having people read the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit use the Word to get to their conscience, so that they see that what they're doing is explicitly sinful according to the Word of God. So all of us have sinned, deserve God's wrath. You know, you take them to Romans 3:23, Romans 1:18. It's appointed to men once to die, and then comes the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. God, go through the rest of the gospel with them, the incarnation, the atonement, resurrection, and then call for a response. You know, say to them, your only hope is repentance and faith in Christ. And I'm saying this out of love. So explain to them that you love them. That's precisely why you're telling them this, and that is actually a bigger issue than this name thing, that you love them and you want them to be forgiven in Christ. Now, what are they likely to hear in all of that? What they're likely to hear, you're judging me and you hate me.
Right. So we need to go out of our way to show love not only to the family member but also to the partner.
Yeah. This is absolutely crucial with this culture that believes that disagreement equals hatred. Mm. You hear it all the time in our culture that if you don't validate my lifestyle, you hate me,
right?
Which is just perfect nonsense. And it's a self-defeating philosophy because they disagree with what we're saying,
right?
But they don't see that in their minds. They don't think they hate us, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But anyway, Christians have been depicted as hateful bigots because we don't validate every lifestyle under the sun. So that's the way that we're going to be viewed, because that's what the world is teaching everyone right now. If somebody doesn't celebrate your lifestyle, whether it's a homosexual relationship or a cohabiting heterosexual relationship, if they don't celebrate that, they're judging you and they hate you. So we have to bend over backward to love people and destroy that false narrative. So don't treat them like they're married, but love them, serve them, be kind to them, seek to be kinder to them than anyone else in their lives. Go out of your way to do things for them. And I would say especially that homosexual partner or that person that grandpa wanted your kids to call grandma. Reach out in love to that person that isn't a blood relative. That's going to show your blood relative, wow, you really are loving. It's not just that you love me, but you love this other person, and you're not hating anybody. You actually do love us. If they're going to be offended, let it be by the gospel and the light of the truth, not by how we treat them. Let that cognitive dissonance work on their consciences. I'm hearing this message that makes me think they hate me, but man, everything else they're doing indicates that they love me. They're doing all of these kind things for me. They tell me that they're praying for me. Hmm. They look at me like they love me. They speak with soft kindness in their voice. They ask about my life and how I'm doing. That certainly doesn't seem like they hate me. You know what I mean? So do everything that you can to overcome the world's narrative that, oh, you disagree with me, you hate me. So that's what I would say. And these certainly are not easy conversations to have. They're uncomfortable. To continue interacting after the conversation may be uncomfortable, but I would say pray for the Lord's strength and presence. Trust in Him. He's growing you through this. He may be using it to draw souls to Himself. You never know. He may be using you in this uncomfortable situation to save souls.
Amen. So would you say, if you're going to have this hard conversation with whatever the scenario is, that it's if you don't then make it a point to love them, let's say even if they live maybe at a distance and you only see them on occasion, would you say that you're almost obligated to show them acts of love and kindness rather than just leaving it? Would you say that we, if we were to just have the conversation and let it be, that they would probably start to think that we are hateful? And then, I mean,
I'd say it's certainly easier for them to continue to believe that.
Sure,
they're almost certain to believe that you hate them once you say we can't let our kids call you this name that you want them to call you, and here's the gospel. They're almost guaranteed to think that you hate them. If that's the last contact that you have with them, then what's going to counteract that message unless you continue to push in?
Sure.
and show, no, I actually do love you.
Right.
And don't you love them?
Right.
I mean, don't you actually love them?
Right.
Shouldn't you want to see them saved?
Right.
Amen. I mean, if we love them, we will continue to do these things.
Right.
I was met with a dear brother this morning. We're reading through 1 Thessalonians, and the first chapter just shows that the Thessalonians were so obviously saved that the word of God spread forth out from Thessalonica, out Thessalonica, out to Macedonia and Achaia. And so they're speaking the word of God, and they're living it in such a way that people are like, something's obviously up with these people. That is normal Christianity.
Right.
That's not spectacular Christianity. That's normal discipleship. We
Amen.
Speak the word and we live it then. We show people that, hey, this is real for us. We love you.
Right.
We want to see you saved.
Right. I think a tendency we have, I know myself, if something's awkward, I tend to back away from it. So I think it's important.
I'm there too. Yep.
If you have this conversation, which will be awkward, unless you just don't care at all what people think, which I guess you should try to do that, but it's hard for myself. I could see myself being tempted to and not continue to reach out to them and show them acts of love. So that's a really important part of this.
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad you mentioned that we have a tendency to pull back from an uncomfortable situation. Aren't we all thrilled that Jesus didn't shrink back from an uncomfortable situation? I mean, what would we ever describe the cross as merely uncomfortable?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we would. I mean, he pushed into that because of the joy that was on the other side of it, that we might be saved. Jesus loves us so much. We ought to love him so much that we want to be like him, that no amount of discomfort is going to dissuade us from loving souls the way that he does.
Yeah, the joy of joining him in his work ought to push us forward.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, until next time.
Okay.
See ya. This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.